Why don't you open your Bibles up to Colossians 2, 1 through 3. I'm going to read some scriptures here. We've been talking about righteousness, and righteousness is more than just a cliche. It's who you are in Christ. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are in Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face. Now, this is Paul talking to the Colossians. He's never met them. He's writing a letter to them to communicate to them. The church just popped up. He didn't start this church. Some of his disciples went out and started this church, and he was just making sure, he's just communicating with them. And for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance. Now, what he's talking about is the power of God, the wealth of God that comes through righteousness. Amen? And I'm going to tie this together here in a second. We need to come to a complete understanding. We will never understand or comprehend the promises of God to us, and we will never walk in the authority of God that we are designated to until we come into an understanding of the righteousness of God, of who we are and the righteousness that dwells in us. Amen? That's exactly what Paul was saying right here. And attaining to the wealth that comes through the full assurance. And we're going to talk a little bit about full assurance today. Of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Now I want you to back up one chapter. I'm going to take you into what this mystery is, amen? Because it's very lacking in the body of Christ today. The true gospel is not being preached in the church today. We are teaching fluff, we are teaching repentance, but we are not teaching the gospel that Paul taught. Amen? And we're going to see that righteousness, God in you, is the true gospel. See, before Christ ever came, God was worshiped how? Externally. Through the law. Nobody ever knew him. And what this mystery is written right here. I'm going to start probably here in verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God bestowed upon me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, now he's getting into what this mystery is. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. Remember, up until Christ came, God was separated from man, correct? That was a reality. And if you ever wanted to meet God or talk to God, where did you go? You went to the temple. You had to have a mediator. That, basically, was that veil. Remember in the temple, when you walked in, there was a holy, the holy of holies, and there was a veil that separated us. When Christ died, what happened to that veil? It ripped open. So we had a way and we had access to God. Amen? Now this is a mystery, but has now been manifested to all the saints. Are you a saint? Are you in Christ? Do you know God as your Lord and Savior? This has been manifested to you, in whom God willed to make known what is the riches. All right? We're back to riches. Riches of his glory. The glory of God is what? Is the presence of God. It's the manifestations of God. It is all God is. And you've heard this from me 1,000 times. All that you need to succeed is where? It's in you. This is the mystery of God. God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. This is the mystery of the world. This is what the world is lacking. There are a lot of people out there that are doing great things. There are good people. But until you come into relation with God, and where does he move? He left the temple. He ripped the veil, and he moved into you. And until you come into that realization, until you come into the knowledge that he is in you, you will never possess the land. The best type of this is the children of Israel sitting outside the promised land. How long did they sit there? 40 years. Because they didn't accept the promise. How many of us are walking in lack, walking in ill health, are walking not in our prosperity? I'll be honest with you, what started this study was the question to me, why isn't it manifesting in my life? That's what started this thing 4 to 6 weeks ago. The Lord started speaking to me, why isn't it manifesting in your life? And as I was praying through some things, the Lord said, you don't understand my righteousness. You don't understand who you are in Christ. You don't understand that you are as righteous as Jesus. You know, I have made this comment 1,000 times to you. Everything you need to succeed is where? In you. I had that concept, but I wasn't allowing it to rule my life. That's what Paul was talking about as far as being fully assured. We live in a world that is going to take you down. We live in a world that is not ruled by God. Satan is the god of this world. He is out to destroy you. Amen? You're in a war and you better get mean. Amen? The reason why we're lacking and the reason why we are being defeated in areas of our life is we're not getting downright mad at the enemy. We're allowing the enemy to walk in and just dominate our life because we won't separate ourselves unto the things of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, let's just go on over there so you see it in your word. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. You are a spiritual being. Amen? You are a spiritual being. We are created in the image of God. They that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. What is truth? Truth is the word of God. The word of God is truth. The reason why we're defeated is we are trying to take the word mentally, put it into our head, and not develop it into our spirits. That is the key to victory in every area of our life. We are spiritual beings, yes, and we got to understand, and you've heard this from me, spirit, soul, and body. The minute you become it, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. God has eliminated everything in the past. And behold, all things become new. Now, what is he talking about? Did you get a new hands? Did you get new body? Did you get a new face? Did you get a new emotions? No. You are created in the image of God, that spirit. When we communicate to God, how do we communicate with God? In the spirit. He speaks to our what? And when I'm talking about spirit, we're talking about our inner man, our heart. Our heart is our what? Our production center. We've talked about that, haven't we? So when we're communicating to God, and how do we receive from God? We receive where? In our heart, in our production center. Then it manifests itself in our body, in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. If we are going to grow in love, joy, peace, these are the fruits of what? The Spirit. If we're going to grow in that, how does it have to happen? It has to happen within our spirits. Our spirit is what dictates what's going on in our body. The enemy is out there contradicting everything the Word has put into us. The Western church, we'll just say it that way. The Western church runs from meeting to meeting to meeting to get their ears tickled, and then they walk away and never apply or implement the things of the Spirit. We've got a lot of people out there with a lot of head knowledge, and really this is what the Lord spoke to me. It's one thing to know it in your head. It's another thing to know it in your heart. Amen? And when we don't know it in our heart, it will never manifest in our life. You understand this? Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to you today? It's more than head knowledge. It's more than just acting out a certain way. You need to know Him. We worship in spirit and in truth. And you'll never develop your spirit until you're alone with your Father. That's why He said He came into the garden every day to fellowship with His creation. What was He doing? Everything was perfect then. Yet He would show up and communicate. Why? Because He knew that the spirit of man was how He was going to bring light into man. He knew that as He spent time with His creation, it would make Him more like who? Him. Amen? That's the only way it works for us today. It's been a very tough week preparing for this. It's easy to get up here and preach and just get all excited. But when the Lord turns it around and says, why, with this one question, how do you make it manifest in your life? And that's what He said. Why isn't it manifesting in my life? Phew. It's like getting hit upside the head. You know, why do I doubt? And coming to full assurance. Paul talked about it. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. We can sit there and we can quote all these little scriptures. But why aren't they manifest in our life? Because we're not fully assured. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said he could do, he would do. And until we get fully persuaded, we're never going to see it manifest in our life. And the reason why we're not fully persuaded is why? We are a mind, a will, an emotion, and a body, and a little spirit. Yet we have the Holy Spirit, who is really what? The big spirit. So we're supposed to be spirit dominated, but yet our mind, our will, and our emotions are dominated by what we see. And the only way we're going to grow, and this is, I'm going to spit it out right now. The only way you're going to grow is to pull yourself back out of the world. And this is how it all started. And I'm guilty, okay? I'm saying this right now. I am guilty. I'm sitting there watching the Notre Dame game a few weeks ago. And it's funny how the Lord speaks to you. There were three or four commercials on there. One was a Trojan condom commercial. Two of them had to do with physical ailments and getting medicine. You know, take this medicine, you won't itch, you won't do this. And the Lord just spoke to me. It was clear as day. He says, you wonder why it's not manifesting in your life? If faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, how does doubt come? It comes the exact same way, guys. We are being programmed. My grandmother said to me years ago, we are waxing older and older and older. Things are going faster and faster. The information age is a tool of the enemy. You better watch out what you're doing. You better watch out. We'll sit in front of the TV, I'll use myself, for 4 hours to watch a silly little game and watch it pollute us. But yet we want to believe the word of God. I can walk in righteousness. I can walk in the victory. I can do this. I'm healthy and I'm whole. Think about this the next time. You're watching TV and a medical commercial comes on. Is there a little caveat at the end of the commercial that says, well, if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to worry about this little disease? Does that ever happen on your TV? No. It doesn't in mine. The enemy is programming you. And the latest one is AIDS. There are 3 or 4 AIDS commercials on TV right now. What is it doing? If faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God, what's it doing to us? It's programming you for the defeat. We got to pull back. If we're not willing to pull back, you're going to be programmed. You're being programmed one way or another in business. Everyone thinks I sell carpet. I don't sell carpet. I market things. And marketing is what? Not marketing is nothing but selling. That's exactly what we're watching on the TV screen every day. And I'm just using TV. It's radio. It's every side of media. Go to Facebook. Actually, go to your text. I mean, this blew me away. 2:30 in the morning. Now, I sleep with my phone right next to me. I got a text. It was something about, if you want sex, call this number. This came on my phone. 2:30 in the morning, I got this thing. The enemy knows when to get you, doesn't he? So I deleted it. I said, okay, Lord, okay. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was just the Lord trying to give me an example. 8:00 in the morning, my wife got one. The same text. Where are they getting this stuff from? You don't think the enemy is out to seek, kill, and destroy you? You better get engaged in the war. Because most of us are going through life. Oh, we'll go to church. And we live in our little bubble. Thinking that the devil's already defeated. I'm telling you. He's out to seek, kill, and destroy you. And it's all going to be done through your head. And if you do not get into the point of starting to assure yourself of who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ, if you're not building yourself up on a level that is more, well, we got military guys here. How do you win a battle? Just show up one day and got my gun and run out there? Is there any strategy to it? You better get a strategy for winning in your life. If you don't have a strategy, you've got the weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're there. We can take it down. But if you don't know how to use the weapon, what good is it? We've got the weapons. We've got the ability to do it, but yet we won't want to discipline ourselves. What's boot camp? Right. Boot camp is nothing but 8 weeks of misery to what? Bring what into your life? Discipline. Reprogram you to win the what? The battle. Why aren't we taking that within the church? It says in the word, my people perish because of what? A lack of knowledge. There's a lot of knowledge out there. There's a lot of things that we're being bombarded with. We can sit there and we can listen to YouTube tapes all day long. I'm talking about spiritual ones. We can listen to teachings. We can listen to praise and worship. We can listen to all this stuff all day long. But if you're not applying them into your life, all they are is knowledge. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. All that come to him must believe that he is. And he's the what? The rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're not being diligent about putting him into your life and diligent about growing in areas of your life. Now, we're going to go back to the Spirit here. The Spirit of God works with us. Now, are we perfect? Absolutely not. We're made perfect in Christ. But God works with each one of us individually in the areas that he wants to strengthen us in. Amen? So it's up to us individually to be listening to the Spirit of God the Spirit of God, to instruct us in the what? In the Word of God, so that we can implement the Word of God into our life so that that Word starts to dominate us. Amen? We all struggle in different areas. Amen? But all that worship God must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. So if you're not spending time, I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Start with 5 minutes. Remember a few weeks ago I said this to you. You ever tried to just clear your mind and just think about, you know how hard it is? You better start training yourself to do that. Think on what? Whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy. There's a list of them in here. Those are the things we're supposed to be thinking on. Because most of us, well, I'll use me. John sits in front of the TV till 11:30 last night, watching a Notre Dame game that is bombarding John so that John defiles what? What are they trying to defile? Not my head, my heart. When my heart is defiled, what does it do? Brings doubt. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. Doubt comes by what? Hearing the words that are contrary to what God is speaking in my life. Well, let's take this one little step further. You're in your quiet time. You're with God. God is speaking. You're walking around on little pillows of clouds. You're wearing your halo, and you come out. You go, and you sit down in your little car, and you put on Z92.5. And within 10 minutes, the enemy is bringing what? Doubt. Contrary information into your life to contradict everything that you just heard God say. Welcome to life, folks. That is life. Why? Because we're fighting a battle on the enemy's turf. You better get wise, you better get diligent, and you better figure out how to fight the battle. We are way, way, way too nice to the enemy. Well, we're supposed to love. We're supposed to be nice. We're supposed to be little Christians. Then you're going to go down the toilet with the enemy. I got a little scripture. Go with me into Matthew. Matthew 11:12. It's Veterans Day, right? It's good to have a lot of military things here. This is red letters, guys. Red letters. This is Jesus talking. I didn't say this. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. What's he saying there? Basically, you've been going under until now. The violent man takes it by force. What is Jesus saying? If you don't get aggressive in your life, you're going down the toilet. You got to be vigilant with the enemy. You got to take into account every area of your life. I used to sleep with the TV on. I couldn't even escape it when I was sleeping. Because the same commercials run. Actually, they get worse after night. Every time we go to the doctor walks out, gives us a report. Well, you got this, this, and this going on in your little body. But the report of the Lord is what? By his stripes I've been healed. This became very vivid to me. And I know that I know that I know. And this is 15 or 20 years ago. I'm going to share a little episode in my life that I let the enemy in. And I'm still dealing with it 15 years later. Okay. I was in getting a physical for our adoption thing. And the doctor walked in. And I'm out of Bible college 4 or 5 years. I mean, I know all the scriptures. By his stripes I'm healed. I know all this. And the doctor walked in. He looked right at me. He says, you're a diabetic. And I mean, I remember my first reaction was, get behind me, Satan. That's what I thought in my spirit. He goes, oh, no, you're a diabetic. He went out and he gets his little test. He comes back and my blood sugars were through the roof or whatever. And I succeeded to it. Now, let me take you over to scripture here. Isaiah 54:17. Go there real quick so you see this. I'm not making this up. This is how we wage war. Isaiah 54:17. You hear me quote it all the time. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment will be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of God. I'm going to go into the King James and read it to you again. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Oh, wait a minute. How should I have dealt with that doctor walking into that room? If you are not condemning the word that comes against you, you shall condemn. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to go into warfare with everything the enemy's coming at you. If you're dealing with sickness or disease, we're dealing with it within our church right now with little Logan. And they're trying to figure out what's going on with him. If Chris and Sarah do not guard themselves with every report that these doctors are coming to you, you've got to be diligent. I remember when I was dealing with Larry. The day they walked in and said, well, he's got CP. And the doctor looked at me and goes, you sure you want to adopt him? It was a quiet, very quiet drive from there until Tipton when the Spirit of God said, wait a minute. Whose report are you going to believe? And that's exactly what he put in my head. I just looked at Diane and said, whose report are we going to believe? And if you look at Larry today, you don't look it. Because we started combating it the minute we got it. That's how we overcome in this land. That's how we possess the land that he wants us to possess. Every area of our life. When the attack comes, when the enemy drops that thought into your head, you got to condemn it. What do I mean by condemn? You got to come against it with the word of God. No, devil. By his stripes I'm healed. That's exactly what I should have did right over behind my shop that day. I knew it in my spirit. My spirit responded, but my head gave in. That's 90% of us. That's why we walk in lack. That's why we walk with health issues. That's why we walk defeated. Because we hear it. Our spirit is what? Recreated in the image of who? God. Our spirit automatically repels it. And then our head lines up with what? The lie. And then it starts to enter into our life. That's the key. We are to be led by the what? Spirit of God. They that worship him worship in spirit and in truth. So when the attack comes, the minute the attack comes, we're to take that attack and our spirit will lead us right to the answer. You don't have to have it memorized in your head. Because if it was that way, it wouldn't be an attack, would it? You would already know how to deal with it. But what you have to do is quiet the emotions. You need to quiet the screaming that's going on between your ears. And you need to go into the Word of God. You need to find the promise of God. And then you need to start what? Meditating on the promise of God. So it dictates, it goes to your production center and just starts to come out of your mouth. It's not good enough just to know about it. You got to have it. It's got to be part of you. It's got to be in your production center. Now, I don't know where any of you guys are in life. I don't know how the enemy attacks. He attacks each of us differently. Amen? But the principles are the same. But what we do, best thing I can give it to you is in another war analogy. As they start to move in, we panic. And we revert back to what is what? Natural. I'll use my little surfing incident for you. When I was 17, 18 years old. I used to surf a lot. And I went up the pipeline, and everyone thinks waves are real big. They are big in Hawaii. I was surfing a very small day. It was 6 to 8 foot. But I came down on this wave, And I was petrified. It's the biggest wave I've ever ridden. The wave's going over the top of me, and I'm looking through the wave, and fear came to me. And I rode that wave on in, wiped out, got up on the beach, was breathing my... And the first thing that came to me, and it would have defeated me if I didn't get back in the water and ride back out. You know, I wasn't saved at the time, but the thought came to me, so I said, if I don't go back out, I'm never going to do this again. There is 90% of us when we get beat by the enemy. The attack comes, our adrenaline's going, we react out of our head instead of our spirit. And what we need to do is get on the beach, let the adrenaline keep going, get into the Word, get the Word on our little situation, get back on our board, and head back out. Because if we don't, it's going to manifest into our life. That's exactly how the enemy works. We need to be assured of what? Of what the Word of God says. Assurance only comes by meditating in the Word. Getting the Word for your particular situation, whatever it is in your life, if you're dealing with poverty or health or emotional things, depression, oppression, any of these attacks the enemy tries to bring into our life, find the Word. You don't need a machine gun, you know what I'm saying? You don't need 85,000 rounds. All you need is what? One round. It only takes one round to kill a person in the right place. Amen? When you're going through trials and the enemy is trying to bring an attack on your life, all you need is one round. And what I mean by one round, when you're reading the Word and you find it, the Spirit of God is what? Going to bring revelation to you in your production center, and all of a sudden it's going to go, wow. I mean, I remember that happening to me when I was reading Galatians, when it's talking about the promises of God, the promises to Abraham are mine. I remember reading that one day just in my quiet time, and Abraham's promises are mine. I remember that one scripture just, boop, came right up. I mean, it was like neon one. I got the same promises as Abraham. Gosh. And it settled it ever since then in the area of provision. God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I can rattle them off left and right. Those scriptures became real to me when I was at home and I got a pile of bills this high and a money stack about this high. Guess what? I was going under. And I was looking at my bills, looking at my money, going, God, I'm going under. And all of a sudden, I got that revelation. And I started putting that revelation to work in my life. Gosh, I'm believing God. God, I call those bills paid. And they started going down. They started going down. They started going down. And the pile started going up. I don't care what it is in your life. The principles of God work no matter what you're dealing with. Whether it's health, prosperity. If you're getting beat up in your head with oppression and depression. Oppression and oppression are external facts working on you. Who lives in you? The greater one. So when we start dealing with oppression and depression, what do we have to do? Where's our source? Out of you shall flow what? Rivers of living water. The greater one is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oppression is nothing more than an outward force dealing with what? Our mind. Is our mind what rules us? No. We're spirit driven. So, when we get into depression and oppression, what are we doing? We're siding with the enemy. I know it sounds very simple, but go talk to somebody who deals with depression and oppression. It ain't that easy. If you're not building yourself up on who you are in Christ, what Christ has done for you, what Christ has delivered you, and the promises of God, depression, oppression will kill you. You've got to come against the attack, the outward attack, with the inward witness. God, that was the Spirit. The inward witness. They that worship the Lord worship in spirit and in truth. Everything you receive from God comes from the Spirit within. I don't care if it has to manifest itself in material things, like money. You got to have money to live in this earth. But money can only manifest once you understand who you are in Christ and God being your provider. Same thing with depression, oppression, or whatever. If you're being attacked, the peace of God surpasses all what? Understanding. You've got to draw on the peace of God. You've got to draw on love. You've got to draw on the things of God to overcome the battle in your head. It comes down to, are you willing to wage warfare? Are you willing to discipline yourself? Chris, do they have TVs in boot camp? Amazing. If you're not willing to separate yourself, if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, if you're not willing to discipline yourself, you're never going to walk in the fullness of God. Amen? That's what God has called us to do. I can sit there and I can quote scriptures to you about righteousness, or Christ being made sin for you, and you are the righteousness of God. But if you're not willing to sacrifice, if you're not willing to take those scriptures, put them within your heart, meditate on them, come into a revelation. That's the only way revelation knowledge comes. Revelation knowledge, and I don't want to get too spiritual, is God speaking to you directly about your circumstances. That's it in a nutshell. When you are going through things in your life, when you're going through trials in your life, when you're being tempted in life, you need to go to your daddy. You need to get the word of God. Allow him to reveal himself and the power of God within you so that you can overcome the enemy in your mind, your will, in your emotions, and your physical body. We are to be dominated by the Spirit of God. And most of us are letting our mind, our will, our emotions, and our physical body to dominate us. Because we don't see ourselves as big as God is. Because we don't see ourselves as righteous as God. I remember a couple weeks ago I had you guys quote that with me. I am the righteousness of God. I am as righteous as Jesus. I could see on some of your faces. That's heresy. That's not heresy. That's the word of God. That's who you are. But it's okay. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And hearing of the word of God. If you're not building it up in your life, moment by moment by moment, and turning off the distractions of life. Sometimes people are a distraction. There are certain people you shouldn't be hanging with. But they're my sister. I don't care who they are. You listen to the Spirit of God and you cut them out of your life. Not that you cut them out of your life forever, but there might be a season in your life when you need to stay away from them because you need to grow in an area. Especially within families, okay? I know I'm dabbling some things here. But families, because we're close. There are spirits in this world that are out to seek, kill, and destroy you. And there are reigning spirits within our family, okay? I mean, I have them in my family, and I know what they are. So you don't see me at the horse track. You don't see me at the bar, okay? That's just me. Because those are the reigning spirits of my life. You know, hey, you ever seen an Irishman? Yeah, they own all the bars in town, and most of them are next to the gambling casino. Okay, So my reigning spirits are gambling and drinking. So you don't see me hanging around over at the lounge doing off-track. But actually, today you can do it online. They just legalized it in Indiana. Hey, you can make the bet there. You know, you don't see me doing it. Why? Because my grandfather was an avid gambler and my dad was an avid alcoholic. And guess what? I was an habitual drug user. Dang, where did I get it? It came through the spirit. It didn't come because I just got born around it. It came into the spirit realm, and the spirit is dominating my family in that area. So guess what? I had to stop hanging around my brother. I still do. If I get around my brother, I love him to death. Thank God he lives in Seattle. Because if he lived here, he'd be rubbing off on me. But I see things he struggles with. I see the same things he's struggling now that we're older. I'm getting older. But I see every reigning spirit that's been alive in my family for generations running rampant in his life. And he's saved, says he is. He can rattle off. I mean, like I shared a few weeks ago, he could rattle off the back of that dang kind of thing. Oh, I confess Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But he's not applying the word of God. So what? The devil's reigning in his life. I see it. You don't see it. But if I keep hanging around with him, who's going to rub off on who? If I was standing on this little pew here, and I was going to try to lift him up, would he pull me down or would I lift him up? He's going to pull me down. So be careful of the people you're hanging with. Not that they're bad people. God loves them. But if they rub off on you and they can be used in your life to pull you down, get away from them for a while until you get strong enough that you can be around it. I mean, that was the best advice Mike Amatuzzo ever gave me when I got saved. He said, you're not going to make it if you don't cut your ties with everybody you know. And I had a house. I had people living with me. My best friends, because I wasn't married at the time. And kids I grew up with, Shorty and Mattson. If I didn't walk away from them, they would have drove me right back into it. We go out witnessing, and some of the ladies of the night would all know me. Because we're all doing the same thing at night. But if I didn't protect myself when I was around them and stay away from them, they would have sucked me right back into it. And I've told you the story about the little pool hall, little Chinese pool hall. They had my name on how long I'd be saved. They were actually gambling on how long I'd stay saved. I beat all the odds, guys. We're still here. I'm just saying, if you hang around, if you don't get away from your environment, at least for a while, till you get strong, you're going to get sucked right back into it. And there's where we think we can win. Amen? It says in the Word, don't be deceived. Right. He's talking to believers there. Don't be deceived. Bad company, what? Corrupts good morals. I didn't make it up. He said it. If you got a problem with it, take it to him. You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful where you're at. The way we overcome in this life is through the Spirit of God. You've got to start developing the Spirit because the flesh is going to take you under. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as we minister your word becomes truth in our life, Father. Lord, it becomes rhema in our life. Father, we thank you. The eyes of our understanding are open. And Lord, as we go into our personal time this week, Lord, I just pray for each individual in this body, Father, that you would start to speak revelation knowledge of your word into their hearts, Father. Lord, that they would know what the hope of their calling is, that they would know the strategies of the enemy in their life, that they would see, Lord God, your plan, his plan, and the victory plan, Father. Lord, that you would hide nothing from us. Lord, you said you sent the Spirit of God, that he would give us all knowledge, all understanding, so that we could walk by the Spirit of God, and we could have victory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Why don't all our veterans stand up, since I just did a whole... Yeah, let me take care of the veterans and I'll get to that. Hallelujah. These are our veterans within our midst, okay? And I want to thank you guys all for your service, amen? Thank you. But I want to pray over them because guess what? When you're in a battle, sometimes you bring a little bit of battle home. We don't know what they've been through. We have never seen what they've seen. I never went through boot camp. Be honest with you, at that age, probably wouldn't have made it. Because I was a rebellious little guy. Had my own way of doing things. But I want to pray over them, and then I want to pray over our president, who is our commander-in-chief. Amen? So that he would have the wisdom and the understanding that he could lead our nation in the right way. Amen? Father, I just thank you for all our veterans. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for their service. They laid down their life for the service of this country, Father. And Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, that they all came back safe and unharmed, Father. But we also know when you walk through a swamp, sometimes the swamp gets on you. And Father, we just come against any of that mistrust, any of that garbage that they were exposed to around the world. We just wash it off them with the Word of God. The Word of God reigns in their minds, it reigns in their hearts, and it reigns in their mortal bodies, in Jesus' name. Father, I just lift up President Trump to you, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would give him wisdom, and I thank you, Lord, that you would give him the boldness to stand up for what all these vets need in their lives, Father. Lord, that he would push through the things that our vets need to get well and healthy and whole. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you give him the wisdom. He gets bombarded every day with reports about what's going on in the world, Father. But Lord, I ask you that you would just speak to his heart, that you would give him wisdom, understanding, and when to react, when not to react, and what to do, that he could protect this country, protect this nation, so that the gospel can go out. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.